wonderful to be with you today and to have this opportunity to worship together and to be a part of your service. As has been said, my name is David Olford, and I'm here with a colleague in ministry, Reverend Paul Harper, and it's our joy to be here in Japan. I've been to Japan many times over the last 10 years, and I've been involved in various types of ministry. Some of you may be familiar with the Keswick Convention meetings. I was here in February for the 50th anniversary of the Keswick right here in Osaka. It was held at the Riverside Hotel, and we had a wonderful time. God blessed us richly. And then over the last 8 years, we've been here 7 times, not in Osaka, but in parts of Japan to do seminars to encourage people in leadership and pastors particularly, that they might preach God's word faithfully, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's been my joy to be in Japan many times. I love Japan. I don't say that just to be nice. I do. I love meeting you and the wonderful people of Japan. The country is absolutely fascinating and beautiful, and I've enjoyed every visit to Japan. Appreciate so much the warm welcome of Pastor Alistair and Sister Wendy. It's wonderful to be with you and to have fellowship with you. So glad you're here, involved in ministry here at the Osaka International Church. You know, heaven is international. And there's people from every tongue and language and part of the world that are part of God's people that know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the opportunity of living with Him eternally in heaven. And so it's wonderful to be a part of an international church. And our ministry is very international. I'm based in a place called Memphis, Tennessee. Anyone ever heard of Memphis, Tennessee? You might have heard of a fellow named Elvis Presley. Or there's a gentleman who just recently passed away named B.B. King, jazz and soul musician who came from a place called Indianola, Mississippi, not too far from where Brother Paul grew up in Mississippi. And so Memphis is an interesting place, and we live there. We have a center there involved in encouraging and equipping leaders in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So that's where I'm from. I married a Memphian, a lady from Memphis. We've been married almost 30 years, although I was born in London, England. I grew up in New York City, and I went to college near Chicago in America, then went back to England, and then I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. Now I'm in Memphis. So I've moved around a little bit over the years, and it's been my privilege to do that. But I want to draw our attention this morning to a wonderful passage of Scripture in John's Gospel. I understand that you've recently been involved in a series through the first 10 chapters of John's Gospel. So this might be a little bit of a review for some, but it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. John chapter 7. If you have your Bible, a Bible nearby, or it's on the screen possibly, I don't know. We're going to look at John chapter 7, verses 37 through 43. And we're considering a life-giving declaration by a life-giving Savior. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. A life-giving declaration by a life-giving Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read these words. John chapter 7 and verse 37 reads as follows from the New King James Version. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke, that is, Jesus spoke, concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us during this time together. God, our Heavenly Father, we do come to you in the name of the life-giving Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and lives during these moments together. Lord, we need to hear from you. And we ask that you would speak to us, that you would, Lord, open up truth to our lives that indeed would be life-changing, that, Lord, would cause us to love you more, to trust you more, to live in the power of your Holy Spirit more in these days. We thank you for one another. We thank you for the greetings that we've just shared, and, Lord, for the life that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, you'll just open up our eyes and our hearts to your truth right now, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A life-giving declaration by a life-giving Savior. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus speaks of himself as the source of living waters. And what he's speaking of here is that he's the source of eternal life. And this declaration, we're going to look at it. We're going to go right through these verses of Scripture because I believe this is God's Word. We're going to consider the time of this declaration, when it was given, the words of this declaration, what Jesus said, then the explanation of this declaration, which John gives us, and then the response to this declaration, which is what happened in the lives of the people that heard it. And I'm trusting that today we will respond in our hearts and lives to what God says to us through his word. And so Jesus is speaking of himself as the source of living waters. Look at verse 37. It says, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Thirst is one of the most basic longings that people have. I'm sure you have been thirsty on occasions, maybe desperately thirsty. Yesterday, Paul and I went outside and we walked around the Osaka Castle area. And it was beautiful, wonderful. Many, many people were there yesterday. Many tourists viewing the castle and people seeing what was there. But I guarantee you, if we had stayed a lot longer and we had walked and walked and walked and walked, it was quite warm yesterday. Do you remember? It's quite warm. After a while, we would have become thirsty. And we would have wanted some nice, refreshing, clean, pure water to drink. And Jesus is speaking of himself in this way, that he is the source of living waters. And I applaud every effort in our world today to get clean water, pure water, to places in our globe that are thirsty. And there are many that have a very bad water supplies. And Jesus uses this imagery because in his day in Israel, with the climate and the culture, the need for water was great. And so what he's doing is he's using the language of thirst and the language of quenching thirst to speak of what he offers as a life-giving Savior. And so we need to look at this because John uses this to present one of the declarations of Jesus that indicates that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in Jesus, we'll have life in him, eternal life, a true relationship with God, and life eternal. And that's why John has this declaration of Jesus in his gospel. So let's look at this together. Are you with me? We're going to follow together as we look at the Word of God. Notice, first of all, the time of this declaration, the time of this declaration by Jesus. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. The Jews had many feasts that they celebrated. One was the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was an event commemorating God's care of His ancient people as He brought them out of Egypt and while they were in the wilderness for some 40 years, and how He cared for them. And it celebrated that. And that's what this feast was all about. One New Testament scholar mentions that part of the ceremony of this event was the drawing of water. And there was an Old Testament passage that was often referred to in relation to that. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, that said, "With joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation." And so water was a part of this ceremony. So it was very appropriate that Jesus would stand up and cry out on this last day, this great day of the feast. But you know what's interesting about this is that Jesus' words were actually an interruption of the ceremony. He wasn't on the program. He wasn't a priest that was involved in the activities of that feast. It's almost as if Jesus interrupts all of the religious practice, the religious ceremonies, the ritual that was going on, and says, wait a second, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It was an interruption of the proceedings. He wasn't a part of the proceedings, but you know what? He actually was a fulfillment of this feast, because He is the one that ultimately provides the source of living waters. And what a picture that is of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into our world and came to reveal who God the Father is and lived the life so that people could understand who God is before going to the cross to die a death for the sins of mankind. But it's possible that people, even though Jesus has come and Jesus has spoken and Jesus has ministered, for people not to hear Him. Not to hear Him. And sometimes God has to interrupt our lives, our busyness, our activities, our hardness of hearing, in order to get our attention. And that's what Jesus is doing here, right in the midst of this religious ceremony. He shouts out to the crowd, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I wonder if you've had a time like that in your life, where in the midst of what's going on, you heard the Lord speak to you in a very direct way. Many years ago, my father, who was a preacher and was a wonderful friend to me before he went to be with the Lord, had a very critical experience in his life when he was a young man. Matter of fact, he was racing motorcycles in the British Isles and doing very well. But one night, he was in an accident and he had a concussion. And he lay on the road and he developed an illness. And this is many, many years ago, back in, I think, the late 30s or just the beginning of the 40s. And when that happened, there wasn't medicines available. And he literally was expecting to die. And he lay in a bed expecting to die. And my grandfather was a missionary in Angola. And he knew nothing about this accident, nothing about this illness, nothing about what had happened. But he sent a letter that had already been written, and it came months it took to come from Angola to the British Isles at that time. And here is my father, not even expecting to live, and he gets a letter from my grandfather, and it said some very simple words. It said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And those words broke through, because God had, in a sense, interrupted my father's life, and he now had ears to hear, and he heard those words, and he surrendered his life to the Lord. He was already a Christian, but he had been moving away and doing his own thing, as we'd say in America, doing his own plan for his life. And he surrendered to the Lord, And from then on, God used him, and he was involved in ministry for over 60 years. But sometimes God has to speak into our lives in a very fresh way, a direct way. He interrupts what's going on, the routines, the busyness, the ceremonies, the rituals that we're involved in, so that we can really hear what he's trying to say. And that's what Jesus does on this occasion. He stands up and he cries out and he speaks right in the middle of this ceremony. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That's the time of this declaration. But let's look at the words. Let's be very specific, because this is what Jesus said. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What an invitation. What an invitation. Jesus is saying to come to me. And in coming to me, you will seek, you will gain true spiritual life. You will gain true spiritual refreshment. You will be refreshed just as if living waters were to be imbibed by yourself, and then they will become a spring of living water in your life. You know, I mentioned that I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and we have a very interesting water supply. No, it's not the Mississippi River. Our city is right on the Mississippi, which is the largest river in North America. But the Mississippi is a commercial river. And I don't think you'd want to drink the water from the Mississippi River. But that's where we live. But deep down underground, there is this large body of water, an aquifer it's called, of water that is incredibly clean. And as you drill down into the ground, you get this water and you bring it up, and of course it gets purified as it comes through some of the sand and the other elements. And so we actually have wonderful water in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's this abundant supply. It's a huge supply of fresh, clean water that's underneath our city. And Jesus is claiming to be this abundant, sufficient supply of true spiritual life, if we will just come to him and drink. But we must drink. We must come to him. It's not something that we just experience by watching from a distance or listening to his words. No, he says, you've got to come to me and you've got to drink. And that speaks of believing into him and receiving his life into my life, into your life. And that's what Jesus says here. And notice this invitation is open to anyone. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But there is one qualification. He says, if you thirst, if you thirst, if you sense your need of spiritual life, if you have a desire to truly know God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to experience spiritual life. And the sad thing is that many people don't really recognize that they're thirsty, and they try to fill up their lives with other things that they think will quench their thirst. Even God's people have had that problem many, many years. If you go back to the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah spoke of this in chapter 2 of Jeremiah. I believe it's verse 13, where God is speaking about his people who had moved away from him. They had fallen back into idolatry. They were worshiping other gods. They were not following the Lord. They were distant from him. And God says this. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. There's that same idea. The fountain of living waters. And they've hewn or made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's a very strong image in the ancient world. In order, and in this dry climate, in order to get water, they used to build these cisterns, big holes that they made in order that water would be captured during the rainy seasons. And then they would have water to drink. And God says, I'm your source of life. I'm your source of living water. And yet they've made these other cisterns, he says, that they can't hold water. You see, the problem with a cistern was that water only came when it rained. And then he says that they were cracked, and so the water all dripped through. And so it didn't last. And what Jesus is saying is that if you come to me, I'm a continuous source of spiritual life. I'm a continuous source of one who can be satisfied spiritually. I can help you to know God and to have eternal life in Him. He's claiming to be the source of water, the source of life. And that's what Jeremiah was saying in the Old Testament, that God's people had forsaken. They'd gone in another direction, and they had not realized that God was a sufficient source for their lives. What an invitation. What an invitation Jesus gives us. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, throughout John's gospel, John is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus made many declarations when he was here on this earth. He not only claimed to be the source of living water, he used images to help people understand the relationship that he wanted us to have with him, the depth of that relationship, the dependence that he wanted us to have on him. He spoke of himself as the bread of life and the need to eat him. The gospel writer says he's the light of the world. He's the one who dispels darkness. He's the good shepherd, the one who cares for his sheep and lays down his life for his sheep, which is what Jesus actually did. He's the Lamb of God, who is the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the one who conquered death and is alive. We sang about it. We said that Jesus is alive. I believe that. He's alive. He's real. He's exalted in heaven above. He's the one way to God the Father. Indeed, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you see, Jesus made these declarations in order that we would come to him and that we would find life in him. And for those of us who know the Lord, that's such a wonderful truth. It's so precious to us because we found life in him. We found eternal life in him, and he is our sufficient source. But what's interesting here is that John actually goes on to explain further what Jesus meant when he said these words. Because Jesus says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, I can be that source of living water, and that will flow in and through your life. But then John says this, verse 39, if you're following in your Bible, but this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now listen carefully to me, because this is a very interesting part of this passage of Scripture. You see, John was saying this wasn't just a word for people in that day. This wasn't just a word for people involved in the Feast of Tabernacles. This wasn't just a word for people who understood the ceremony of that day. That was true for them, but there is a greater understanding for us as we see the whole life of Jesus and what took place. Because you see, Jesus lived on this earth. He taught truth. He showed us what God is like. But then he went to the cross and he died a death for our sins. And he was buried and he rose again on the third day and he was seen of many witnesses. And then he was exalted to heaven, and when he was glorified, as our passage says, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was glorified in heaven, and then he poured out his Spirit to indwell his people. And that's what Acts 2 teaches us. If you know your Bible, you know Acts chapter 2. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture where Peter the apostle preached, and as he preached, the Holy Spirit had already come upon a small group of people. And then he preached the gospel, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifying him. And then he told people as he finished his message that they were to repent of their sins, to turn away from sin and self, and to be baptized, showing their faith in Jesus, and they would receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And the key passage, the key thought in this is that Jesus is the source for His Spirit. In other words, Jesus is the one who is the giver of the Holy Spirit. And as we believe in Him, His Spirit actually indwells our lives and enables us to live this life that God has called us to live. And I'm so grateful today that as we meet here, that God's Spirit is in our midst. But there's more than that. For those that believe in the Lord Jesus, God's Spirit comes to indwell and to live within us, to help us to live this Christian life and to have this deep relationship with God. We're not alone. We haven't been left alone in this world. It's not as if God is distant and that our Lord Jesus is far from us. His Spirit has come to live within us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and the various character qualities that the Lord is building into our lives. It's the Spirit that enables us to serve others in love and to have a spiritual impact on the life of others. Let me ask you a question. Are you experiencing that in your life? Are you enjoying relationship with the Lord? Are you sensing His presence in your life? Do you sense in your daily life that you're able to be a source of spiritual refreshment to others? What a joy to be able to encourage others and to bless others and to be, as it is, a vehicle to bless other people's lives. It's the Holy Spirit working within us that enables us to live that kind of life and to help us put aside selfishness and put aside our own issues and problems and sins that are in our lives and helps us to grow in Christ. And this is what John is pointing out. He's saying, as Jesus said, anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And Jesus is the source of living life. But John says, wait a sec, that wasn't just ancient history. This is a real truth for now. This is what he does. He's the one who gives spiritual life. And John says, oh, but he spoke this concerning the work of the Holy Spirit that those believing in Jesus would receive. Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But He has been glorified. And He's exalted above. And Jesus is the one who provides true spiritual life by means of His Holy Spirit. And Jesus is asking us today, oh, make sure that you're still focused on Me. I'm the one who can encourage you spiritually. I'm the one who's the source of life. I'm the one that gives eternal life. I'm the one who gives you the Spirit in full measure. As I said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. But now it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you to be a blessing to others. You know, I do a lot of flying. It's something that comes with a kind of ministry that we're involved in. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the flight attendants are always required to go through safety procedures. Now, very often people don't listen to them very carefully because they've heard them before and they're usually said in the same way. But there's one that's always interested me because one of the safety procedures that they have to talk about is the oxygen mask. Do you remember? You've been flying, they talk about the oxygen mask. And there's something interesting that's very often said about the oxygen mask. They say that if you're traveling with children or with others, what do they say? Put the mask on your face first, then on others. Now, why would you put it on yourself first? I mean, wouldn't you want to help others first? Why would you put it on yourself first? You can't help others if you're knocked out, if you're unconscious, You see, the principle is that you need to have the air flowing into your life and able to help others. And you see, in our spiritual life, we need to know the work of God within us. We need to have the Holy Spirit filling our lives. We need to be in close communion with our Lord Jesus and His Spirit in order that these rivers of living water can flow through us to help others. Does that make sense? And so it's not selfish to come to Jesus, not only to believe in Him, but to desire that these rivers of living water would bubble up, would flow in and through our lives in order to minister to others. What a claim. And yet this is who the Lord Jesus is. And my purpose today in this message is just to exalt Him, our wonderful, life-giving Savior, who is the Lord, who is indeed the Christ of Israel, who is the Son of God, who is the one that gives eternal life, and for us to keep our eyes focused on Him and to recognize that He is the true source of life and life eternal. And that we might, through true faith, I mean a faith that depends on Him, a faith that recognizes who He is, a faith that honors Him, a faith that loves Him, that through that we would know the work of His Holy Spirit who indwells us, that enables us to bear fruit and to be life-giving to those around us. I know, even here today, there may be people who are in need of spiritual refreshment, spiritual renewal. Maybe it's in your own life as you focus afresh on the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I love You, and I want to know deep in my heart more and more the work of Your Holy Spirit and the life-giving power that You have for me. But it may be that you know others out there. You can think of them. You have a name. You have a face. You have someone in mind who you know needs help. They need spiritual help. And we really don't have much to offer in and of ourselves. But as the Lord works in our lives, we can be a means of spiritual blessing to others through the power of His Holy Spirit. Isn't that not wonderful? That's what the Lord Jesus came to. To give us a relationship with Himself and then to enable us to live a life that walks with God day by day and then to be servants and ministers to other giving, life-giving waters. But look at the end of this passage of Scripture. We've looked at the time. We've looked at the words. We've looked at the explanation. But what was the response? And one sentence summarizes it. So there was a division among the people because of Him. John is very clear in his gospel. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if everyone believed on Jesus? Everybody said, yes, I honor You for who You are. You are the very Son of God. You are the Christ. You are the one who I believe in. You're the source of life and eternal life. You're the source of living waters. And I want a relationship with You, and I want to walk with You and be Your disciple. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if everyone had said yes? But that's not what happened. And it has never happened. There's always been a division because of Jesus. And there's some who reject and say, I don't believe that. And there's some who say, I'm not interested. And there's some that say, I'm confused by this. But there's others that sense a spiritual thirst deep down in their hearts. And they want it satisfied. And they say, Lord, I've tried other places, but I'm coming to You. Because You're the true source. And I'm seeking to find life and life eternal in You. And as we gather today, I encourage you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord, it's acknowledging Him. And if you're dry in your life and maybe you've quenched or grieved the work of the Holy Spirit, it's coming back to Him and just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for things that have hurt my relationship with You. And I just want to reaffirm my surrender to You because You're the source of living water. And I want Your Holy Spirit to flow through my life. And I want You, Lord, to help me to not only have true spiritual life within me, but life that impacts others. Maybe that's your prayer today as you've come to this place to worship Osaka International Church. But there may be some here today and you've never really placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not recognized who He is as the one who is the source of true spiritual life. I would encourage you today to just open up your heart to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm spiritually thirsty. I know I really want to know life and eternal life. I want to know the living God. I want to have a life in fellowship with the living God. And just come to Him and place your faith in Him as the source of living water, as the bread of life, as the one who is the light of the world, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one that takes us to the Father. And to place your faith in Him, turning from yourself to Him. And He will indeed give you Himself, who is the source of life. And so I invite you to bow your head with me in prayer. Just as your head's bowed, I have a plant in my office back in Memphis, and a lot of times I forget to water it, and it droops, and it wilts. But when I give it water, it seems as if it gains spiritual strength, and it just becomes alive, and the plant looks like a plant should look. How are you today in your own walk with the Lord? Are you sensing His presence? Are you dependent upon Him for real spiritual life? Or have we become distracted with other things, with busyness, with ceremony? Have we maybe turned away in some way? I would encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the true source of living waters. And to renew your commitment to Him. Some today may need to trust Him for the first time and just to say, Lord, Your Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. I sense my spiritual thirst and I desire You as the source of eternal life. Just turn to Him and pray that to Him, even as we have a few moments of prayer right now. Hear Him even during these moments of quiet. Respond to Him and seek to experience the life that He wants you to live, empowered by His Holy Spirit. Just a few moments of quiet and then I will pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for our Lord Jesus. We thank You for His Spirit. But Lord, we live in a thirsty world. People are hungering and thirsting for truth. They're hungering and thirsting for reality. And Lord, we thank You today that You have come to reveal Yourself to us. We thank You that You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life. We thank You that You are the source of living waters. And Lord, I pray for those that may be here today who are questioning, that are thinking, that are wrestling with issues, Lord, that You might help them understand Your grace, Your goodness, and Your offer, this invitation to come. And Lord, to believe on You and to trust in You and to experience Your life. Eternal life. Lord, we pray that You would do that work in hearts even today. And Lord, for those of us who know You, we thank You for this privilege of having this relationship with You. And that, Lord, we want our lives to be those that are filled with You. And Lord, that are Christ-like and are impacting others. And I pray that, Lord, You would speak to us in a fresh way that we might, Lord, fix our eyes on You, recognize You are the source. There is no other. And Lord, that we would want to be as the vine and the branches. We would want to be dependent on you, finding our life in you, Lord, through prayer, through reading your word, through fellowship, through, Lord, our walk with you day by day. Lord, I pray that you would make us people who minister to others and give spiritual life and renewal and refreshment to others around us. We know there's many needs right around us, right here in Osaka. People who are struggling, who are wrestling with life, that are, Lord, needing to hear your voice. I pray that you would help us to share your good news with them. Now today, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, even as our heads are bowed, I want to pray for you. And I just ask that you might even just raise your hand to say, yes, for the first time, I'm trusting this Lord Jesus to enter my life. It's for the first time you're saying yes to the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for this time in your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take this word and that you would help us, Lord, to live lives that evidence rivers of living water flowing in and through our lives, true spiritual life impacting others. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.